It's that time of the day. It's the 4th Street Sports Show. Let's get it.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I am your host, D.M. Mixon. In the pound, once again on this Thursday afternoon. We have a pretty big basketball game tonight, but that is not the focus of this podcast. It's kind of funny because we did the Louisiana preview on Monday. So if you want to go listen to our preview and pick, I don't remember what everybody's pick was. But regardless, I'm here joined on my left with Nathan Lee.
Yes.
Nathan, how we doing?
I'm doing good, brother.
Good. I saw you playing basketball earlier.
Yes.
You probably are not good at basketball.
I'm okay at basketball. Okay.
He's Jackson, trying to walk on.
Yeah. you just heard from our right from Charlie Luttrell. Charlie, how you doing?
Good, good. It's busy, but this is the crossover season, especially softball about to start too. Baseball next week. Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy.
And then to the far corner over there, Jackson Howell, how we doing?
I am good. I played basketball for 8 years fewer than you, Dima. So here.
Y'all know I played basketball for 8 years.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Hey, Charlie, I saw, this is kind of funny. I know this has nothing to do with the podcast, but I saw on my Twitter today that there was it was like Expedia. Do you know what Expedia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like you buy airline tickets, and it was like 25% on tickets to Honolulu or something. And I really wanted to like tag you in it or something.
Yeah, it's a good place to go.
Yeah,
I've been.
Really? All right. Well, this is our baseball preview podcast. That's right. It's right around the corner. We are 8 days away from today. We're going to be out at the Pete. We have mentioned a special show for that day, but we're not going to reveal anything because we don't want to get your hopes up that it doesn't happen, you know? But so we're kind of looking for some stuff on that. But so this is our baseball preview podcast. This is going to be probably a pretty lengthy podcast. So sit in, get your coffee, put your car in drive. I don't know what you're doing when you're listening to this, but strap in because here we go, because guys, 2023 baseball is right around the corner, and this podcast is just going to be solely focused on that. So I want to start this podcast with just kind of going through last season, right? And just kind of when you really, you know, it was crazy covering it last year, and as Nathan blows up his apartment here. Sorry. But it was crazy watching it last season, and really it was unbelievable just to see what was happening before our eyes. So it was 47-19, 23-7 in conference play. They were ranked as high as number 4 in the entire country. They had the second best pitching staff in the whole nation. Their hitting was good at times, it was cold at times. They did not win the Conference USA, even with all their accolades last year. They lost in the conference championship. They had a stretch where they were winning, like, they won 17 games in a row, I think, or something like that. And Coach Barry became the winningest coach in USM history. They won their first regional since 2009. They hosted their first ever super regional. Just an incredible season last year, gentlemen. And it's going to be hard to replicate that this season.
Yeah, it is. For me, I've always watched Southern Miss baseball my entire life. And, last year was probably one of those years, you saw the talent in that pitching room and you just knew there was a possibility. Obviously, some things fell short as the season progressed, just couldn't find the hitting. And at the end of the day, that's kind of flip-flop for this season. So that's a thing I'm kind of looking at. But from last year, you love to see the energy that team brought to the city. So I imagine that energy is going to be even higher than ever this year, after, hosting a super last year.
Mm-hmm. I totally forgot that the win streak was even in that season because there were so many, like, historic or just first feats for them last year. But it's kind of, they've been doing things consistently at a high level. So, I'm ready to see what's in store for this season. But, geez, 17 games in a row. Kidding. Like, what? 47-19 and when you're playing that many games and against some really good, like you were saying, ranked teams. They got really high in the RPI. And this season, as we're going to get into, is going to be probably definitely a tougher schedule.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, there's a rich tradition with baseball. Better part of the last century plus, definitely good, but it just felt different last year, right? You know, just going around Hattiesburg and the greater Pine Belt area as a whole, there was just a buzz. Every time Southern Miss took the field, you felt like they were going to win, or at least they could win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at all sports, that's really not a feeling that fans have had in quite some time.
Baseball school.
Are you, Jackson, are you saying that Southern Miss is a baseball school?
Stirring it.
What? It sure sounds like it.
Well, I still hold my opinion, but it felt different, right? It felt different and definitely a buzz. It's going to be hard to replicate that same success. I mean, come on, 17 wins in a row. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And they hosted the conference championship. They won the regular season conference title, so that counts for something at least. And obviously, hosting a regional and hosting a super regional as well on top of that. They have set a high bar, so it feels like Omaha or bust, right?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it was 15 in a row. So just
15. Okay.
15 in a row.
But that does include, what is that, three sweeps or two sweeps?
And a win against... Yeah,
three sweeps and two midweeks. And then they lost. They dropped their two at UAB.
Last year is when
they beat Ole Miss in that stretch.
They were basically invincible in midweeks last year. Yeah.
Well, they threw Tanner Hall to start the season because they had to get some of those midweeks in. And were they undefeated in midweeks until Ole Miss at home on May 11th? I think that's right. I don't know everything, but regardless. Yeah, you know, it was an incredible season. I don't think that, you know, really anybody can really say that it's really going to be really hard for them to replicate that. That's something that you just don't see. I mean, they just had an incredible pitching staff last season. Scott Barry even said, as we put in our article, which go read our huge preview article. Cool, it's going to kind of mirror this podcast. We're kind of going to be speaking everything we were meaning to say in the article. But Scott Barry talked about the pitching, and he said, quote, in 38 years, that was the best staff I've ever been part of. As an assistant, as a head coach, I don't care. That's the most quality and most depth of the pitching staff I've ever seen in my tenure at coaching level, end quote. And I think it is something that I think fans are a little nervous that the pitching is not going to be as good as it was last year. But here's my thing. It doesn't have to be as good, right? Like Ole Miss, you know, they didn't have Southern Miss's pitching staff. Mm-mm. They won the national title. You know, like I think that's something that we need to keep in mind just as people talk about baseball is you don't have to have that good of pitching to win a national title. What really matters is on the other side. When those bats get hot, that is when it matters.
It's
so,
timely pitching, right. Too. Like, Ole Miss was such a timely pitching this year.
Like, Dylan DeLucia and, mm-hmm. and what was the other guy's name? Hunter or something like that. But, like, they were midweek. They were in the bullpen before they even pitched against Southern Miss. So, so last season, incredible. I think it's going to be hard to replicate that. Jackson, six straight NCAA regionals, right? Is Southern Miss baseball just expected to go to the postseason every single year?
I mean, it feels like that, right?
Baseball school, right?
I mean, you know,
we're going to ask this question a thousand times.
Okay.
Yeah, football's doing that too, right?
Yeah, football.
Yeah. What do you want me to say?
I want you to answer the question.
What's the question?
Is Southern Miss baseball just expected to go to the postseason every single year?
I would say yes at this point because of the tradition they have and the kind of recent success they've had and the precedent they've had. If they'd missed the playoffs this year, it would be an unbelievably large disappointment, to say the least.
Would it be a shocker?
Yes.
To me, yes.
I agree. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. That's an important element in this debate, right?
I mean, I don't go out there, you know, you look at anybody's expectations for some of the top teams, and it's very rare you don't see Southern Miss in those Omaha predictions, you know. Some of them don't have them, but there's a lot of experts out there, like on 247 Sports. There's all kinds of these experts coming out here saying, you know, watch out for this team, you know. Another team is Charlotte. I brought them up a while back. But it's just there's certain teams that, you know, find it. And this year, when it looks like, you know, when it comes to expected, obviously, they're expecting. Like, the stats prove it. It's all right here in front of us. You know, six straight regionals. You know, winning his coach, Scott Barry. So, the expectations there, should they? Obviously. Like, expectations mean nothing compared to what you're actually going to do. And, obviously, what they need to do is get to the postseason. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It would be unbelievably shocking if they didn't make the postseason for me.
Like, it's to the point now where if they're a three or a four seed in the regionals, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like we're picking and choosing where they should be. Like, yeah, we expect them to host or whatever. Even if they're not a host, a two seed, yeah, we expect that. A three or a four seed, I would be shocked if they're not that, much less miss the playoffs altogether.
Yeah. For sure. No, I agree. Like, I do think that, you know, I think the fact that we're all saying Charlie Ugrid should be a shock.
Yeah. I think there is going to be some, like, maybe learning struggles this year that people aren't accounting for.
Yeah, they're not, like, going to go 47-19.
Yeah, it's just you're coming off such a high. I'm talking about, like, the fans, too. Just the expectations are that they're going to be able to replicate that right away. And that might not be realistic. I mean, the last 2 years, like I've said, it's kind of been at the beginning where, you know, they're still starting out. They're still learning things, especially, I think, this year with the pitching staff. They're going to have to figure out those roles. They probably already have an idea of who's going to be doing what. But, you know, that could change. And those early games are where they'll figure that out. But there's some tough games at the beginning of the season that could kind of, I don't know, I think people might be quick to kind of not turn against the team, but, you know, criticize when that's not really fair because they've got a really tough schedule.
I think, like, when I think back to when we're talking about this as far as, like, you know, Southern Miss fans thinking, okay, they're obviously going to the playoffs, right? They're obviously going to the regional, the tournament, the field of 64, whatever. You know, the last 2 years ago, Mississippi State won the national championship, right? And last season, they came into that season fully expecting to be there again. And you know what happened? They didn't even make the SEC tournament, right?
I think they were dead last.
Yeah. So it does happen in baseball, and that's just the sport that this is. That now, okay, I'm not picking Southern Miss to go dead last in the Sun Belt, and they're not going to make the Sun Belt championship. But I don't think it's as, like, it wouldn't be detrimental to this baseball program if they had a down year, right? I don't think any of us think that. So that goes into my next leading question, which is, Nathan, do you think that Southern Miss just is at the point where they're just reloading talent? You know, they bring in Edsel, they bring in Parker, they bring in all these transfer JUCO players, they're recruiting. Do you think they're almost at that of the reloading? They're going to be consistently top 30 in baseball, regardless of whether or not they have the best pitching staff in the country, regardless of whether or not they have this, that. They're always going to be up there in the top 30, 40 teams in college baseball. Or do you think that there will be some years, probably not this year just because of the talent that they're going to have, but let's just say next year when they lose a lot of this lineup, is it going to be some of those years where they're trying to build back to, say, last year when they're at their high?
Yeah, you know, every year is a different year. My thing is, you know, I think nothing's going to change Southern Miss being an intriguing location for any baseball recruit. When you look at Southern Miss, the history, that's always going to be there, no matter what last year says, what the year before says. If Scott Barry's the coach, there's going to be players that want to play for that guy. Are there going to be down years? That's the reality of sports. Yes, there's going to be down years. But I think Southern Miss is to the point where it's definitely more reloading than ever rebuilding. They might only have one rebuild year in the next 10 years, one. So for me, reloading is going to be the Southern Miss standard until Scott, and for as long as Scott Barry's here, just because that guy knows how to bring in players and players want to play for that guy.
It's that continuity, right?
Yes.
As long as Scott Barry's here, as long as Christian Ostrander's here, we'll talk about the latter in a little bit, I'm pretty sure. But as long as they're here, people are going to want to come here, and pitchers are going to want to come here. Obviously, pitching was a strength last year, but, you know, Ostrander's got his hands full this year with the pitchers, and obviously they feel like they're deep there, which is shocking after all they lost. But hitters are going to come here. I mean, it's just got that rich tradition, right? I hate to keep using that word tradition, but it's true. Like, continuity, only four coaches over, I should really get the number of years down, but you get it. Ever since Pete Taylor first step foot out there, there's been continuity there. And so Southern Miss, for that reason, is always going to be intriguing, no matter if there's a down year or not. If this was like an upstart program, I could see that. But since Southern Miss has been there time and time again, no, a down season would not be the end of the world.
Yeah, it's a baseball school.
Southern Miss. I'll say the Southern Miss is the only D1 program that has won 40 games in 6 straight seasons. Like,
yeah.
They're on the longest streak right now. And if you go over those last 6 seasons, you'll be like, oh, my gosh, they lost so much talent. But what did they do? You know, new guys stepped up, or just the ones who had kind of been learning in the program stepped up. And there's been so many guys, like, each season, that kind of story, that surprise story that nobody was, like, really looking at, and then just kind of breaks out. I think we'll probably talk about, like, Paytow last season. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a concern last year about the hitting, and obviously it wasn't up to what they had wanted it to, probably, but they're comfortable enough with the guys they have, and they're returning them this year. So, I mean, just what's the word you use? Continuity? Yes. Yeah, continuity. I like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. It's there. And Southern Miss is kind of like expected to be at this level. And a down season, 39 wins would be a down season for Southern Miss. And which that's still good. Yeah.
So do y'all think that this season is Omaha or bust?
I think the fans believe that. Mm-hmm. I think the city believes that. Should we put that expectation on them? It's tough to put an expectation on a team that lost, you know, a lot of their talent in the pitching room.
If they were returning, like, you know, their weekend starters,
it's like then it would definitely be Omaha or bust. For me, expectation around the city is Omaha or bust. You know, I don't think the team needs to have that mentality. Obviously, they want to get to Omaha, but I think around the city, yeah, it's Omaha or bust.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Around the city, around the area, around the south part of Mississippi.
Around the state.
Yeah. Around the state. Yeah.
I mean,
Mississippi State, Ole Miss. Go
ahead. Scott Barry said Mississippi State's an Ole Miss's head coach told him it's their year.
He did say that. But to everybody, including everybody in the state, it is Omaha or bust. Personally, if they don't go to Omaha, I don't think it's that big of a disappointment. Will they go there? We shall see. But definitely around the fan base, it's Omaha or bust.
I think there's definitely added pressure just because Southern Miss played Ole Miss in the Super Regional, and then Ole Miss goes on and wins. Because Southern Miss realistically had a pretty good chance to go deep in Omaha if they, I honestly believe if they got paired with anybody else but Ole Miss, they would have made it.
And they could have won the national championship last year. That's what's insane.
So, it has that feeling because you get so close, you host it there. In your hometown, you know, it's like, then what's the next step? You've done so much. And like you said in our last pod, it's so hard to reach Omaha. So it's like when you get that close, it's like, you know, you just want to get to that next step. All the players that are still on the team will tell you that, and, you know, how much they want to be there. It's something that, you know, this program, ever since they've done it, it's been that level each year.
Yeah, for sure. Personally, to me, I don't think it's Omaha or bust. I feel like this team, last year's team, like you said, Charlie, was most set up to get as far as they did, just with the pitching. And if their bats were on at the end of the year, they could have won the national title. Like, that's nothing. That's not, like, a crazy thing to say. Mm-hmm. And so, now this season, I think it's kind of the reverse. You know, but I do think that they'll be able to get far in the postseason if their pitching starts to come to fruition, which I think we all expect it will. I think we expect it to kind of be like a little wonky in the beginning, but once they figure out their rotation, they should be good to go there. And if their bats are, you know, solid, and they're bringing in Etzel, who's supposed to be like the best center fielder they've ever even had, you know, I think that they have every chance to get there. And you know what they say, don't count out the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. They say that?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah, so Omaha or bust, I don't think all of us think that, but I think the fans definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's get into the schedule. Probably one of the more tougher schedules that I've seen in baseball since, I don't even know when, right?
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Like, I mean, this opening series, Liberty, next week. Next week! Mm-hmm. It's coming here next week. That is a tough series, man. So, you know, Liberty went to the regionals last year. They were in the regional final down there in Florida, I think. And then, you know, New Orleans, that's never an easy matchup. Then they have Illinois, then they have Mississippi State coming up. And then, man, a good series with Dallas Baptist, as we all said. Is going to be a good one that we're looking forward to. Then they play in Oxford, which is going to be an insane game. And then Valparaiso, at Southeastern Louisiana. And then they open Sunbelt play with a team who didn't Texas State host a regional last year? I can't remember. San Marcos?
I believe they did. Yeah. Yes, they did.
So, I mean, that's – and they got to go on the road for their opening Sunbelt. Yeah. And then they go to New Orleans. And then Georgia Southern definitely hosts a regional last year.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that because they – you know, so – and then they play Ole Miss again. Like in Pearl, like that is a gauntlet of an opening schedule. So, just y'all's thoughts on the schedule.
You know, I've looked at it too. It's the biggest thing is, you know, I'm excited for what the Sun Belt competition is really going to be like. You know, obviously, every single sport at Southern Miss, we've always wanted to see how they compete in conference. It's a very intriguing conference. Like you said, there's good teams. Teams have hosted regionals in this conference. So that's really intriguing to me. Obviously, the big elephant is Ole Miss. Everybody wants to get that one back. The fans probably want it just as much as the players. Those are the intriguing ones for me. If I had to pick like a specific series, I think Dallas Baptist, I said that last week. That's just an interesting series for me.
Yeah, Texas State did not host a regional, but they almost beat Stanford, who was the number two seed.
That's what it was.
At their regional. Mm, yeah. They took them to game seven.
I remember seeing them.
Because I remember watching something about Texas State. But Georgia Southern definitely hosts a regional. But sorry, keep going.
No, yeah, pretty much what I was saying was just Dallas Baptist is probably the one series I'm very intrigued about. Obviously, though, Ole Miss is the big elephant. That's the big games, you know, for the fans. But, you know, conference games are very, very intriguing to me as well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. And as far as the non-conference schedule goes, that Dallas Baptist series is going to be a big one. But just looking at their conference slate, like Dima said, at Texas State to open up conference play. But they also have to go to Old Dominion, a team joining from Conference USA like Southern Miss. I believe they took 2 out of 3 from the Golden Eagles at the Pete last year. Then they also got to go to Coastal Carolina, and that's definitely never easy with their tradition there. So definitely a tough Sun Belt schedule. A lot of people said, hey, you know, is the Sun Belt baseball schedule going to be easier than the Conference USA schedule? I mean, looking at this, I definitely do not think so. So the Golden Eagles have their hands full. If they're going to go to Omaha or go deep into the playoffs, they are going to have to earn it. That's for sure.
And then the Louisiana series too.
Yeah.
There's history behind that.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Georgia Southern and Texas State were picked, actually tied, I think, in the preseason poll, two. And those are, you know, the two teams you're starting off with, right?
Yeah.
On the schedule. Yeah. Yes. That's crazy. So, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of scrappy teams, too. South Alabama.
Yeah, go through that poll.
Yeah. So, like I said, tied to Georgia Southern and Texas State, then Louisiana behind them.
Summers is one, right?
Yeah, yep. Southern Miss, of course, number one.
And South Alabama got Southern Miss last year.
Yeah, South Alabama, first year covering them, what was that, 20 COVID year, or right after that, 2021. Southern Miss did not win a single game against South Alabama that year.
Yeah.
They got their number.
They went winless over like a couple years, I think.
Yeah. Over a couple years. It's a rivalry, definitely.
They beat them last year on the road, I think.
There's some interesting things going on at Old Dominion. Their head coach has a podcast. It's pretty cool.
That's wild.
Kind of listening to their program of some interesting things going on there. And then obviously Troy is going to be interesting. And then to round that out, you got the newcomers, James Madison. And then you got all the other ones, Georgia State, ULM, App State, Marshall,
Coastal sounds
Arkansas
fun.
State.
Just because they won it years ago. Just because they won it years ago.
Troy will be fun also because they were building their new stadium when we went to cover the football game there. So that should be open, I'm pretty sure. So that'll be interesting.
It's going to be interesting for coming from CUSA just because I think CUSA was one of like the top baseball conferences, honestly. But, yeah, like Jackson was saying, this kind of looks, you know, as good right now, the shape of the Sun Belt.
It's just their
strong
road, the games they pulled for the road matchups, like that is incredible to be at Texas State and at Old Dominion, who's coming, and at Coastal Carolina, both out of the East, right? So,
yeah,
like that is just a tough road pull.
And Scott Barry was talking. Scott Barry was talking at Media Day about maybe why the first four non-conference series are at home, and that's probably why, because that road slate is tough.
And you play at Alabama.
At La Tech.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This, like, I feel like when you're in the schedule builder in NCAA video games and you're just trying to get ranked or something, yeah. and you make the most ridiculous schedule ever.
That's what he referenced. You play this
at
that.
Alabama and then, like, at Texas A&M or at Ohio State or something.
Barry did say, I really like when he was talking at Media Day, it talked about, he said he was talking to the team about this and just, like, it was same thing he said last year. You know, you get to write the book or whatever, right? Because these are teams that obviously you know are going to be tough. But if you're Southern Miss, you're supposed to be, you know, up there with them. So you decide, you know, the result of this game. Because really to be that kind of – that's not a championship mentality. Mm-hmm. It really is. You can't think you're less, you know, than all these teams that you're going up against. And obviously they don't.
Yeah, for sure. Tough schedule, but you know, that's what it is. If they want to go to Omaha, they got to win these games, like Jackson said. And
it's hard to deny them if they win the Sun Belt with this one,
right? And then you got to go win the games in the regional when it matters. So, all right, let's give a deep dive into this team here. Let's start with pitching. Obviously, this is the area where everybody wants to hear. So we're going to spend a good bit of time on pitching here and just kind of run through all the arms we'll see, kind of stuff like that. And then at the end of this segment, we're going to do this new thing just in the sense of a preview pod. We're just going to pick a player that we're driving the bus for pitching and for hitting. Mm. So what I mean by that is, like, when you drive the bus for someone, you think, you know, it can be Tanner Hall, obviously, but I kind of want to, like, not do Tanner Hall if y'all are fine with that, because all of these other pitchers are kind of inexperienced. And so it'd be fun just to pick a guy and you think he's going to come out. It's kind of like the guy you're driving the bus for. If you're driving him down, to Pete Taylor Park, you know, so to go pitch. So it's just cool. He's on your bus.
I want somebody licensed to drive my bus.
Yeah. And then we'll do the same thing we're hitting here in a little bit. But let's dive into this. So obviously we've talked about it. You've heard it a lot. Everything last season, Southern Miss's pitching staff was one of the best in the history of Southern Miss baseball. It ranked number 2 in the country, just behind Tennessee for most of the season. But obviously this year they've lost seven of their eight predominantly pitchers from last season. The only one they returned, of course, is Tanner Hall, All-American preseason, right-handed pitcher. He has last year he had 146 strikeouts to just 14 walks, which is just a stupid number.
That's crazy.
Ridiculous. And he went to the Netherlands this summer to play with Team USA. Cool. Wow. And so Scott Barry said on our podcast on Monday, so go back and check that out with his interview, he said that they rested him over the fall and kind of just brought him in for the Fall World Series just to kind of develop that arm back. But let's go into the rest of the room here. So the rest of the room, obviously full of talent, but inexperienced. And I think that's where the caution is for some of these fans of just being some of these players being inexperienced. One name that comes to mind, Nico Mazza. We heard that a lot. He came on last season as a freshman in this pitching staff. He didn't see much pitching time, only 5 innings logged last season. But we were all at Baseball Media Day, and Barry and Scott Barry and everybody, they mentioned his name a good bit, and I think we're all expecting him to take a big leap this season. His fastball ranges from like a 92, 96 to an 80 mile per hour slider. So any comments on Mr. Mazza?
Y'all know more about kind of pitching staff than I do. So.
I feel like he's definitely one of the more unknown prospects. I hate to use the term boom or bust, but it definitely feels like it could be that way. Not many innings last year. They really love his stuff, or else he wouldn't be put into this position. So if he can have a little bit of control, I think he could easily be that Sunday starter going forward. He probably has the highest ceiling, but one of the lowest floors, if that makes sense. Yeah. So which Nico Mazza will we get? If they get a good one, Southern Miss, you know, they should have a great rotation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at him, sophomore, still underclassmen. So the youth there, you know, that's the big thing. Exactly. The big games, you know, all these guys can pitch. It's can they pitch when the lights are turned on? And that's the big question is, That's why it's also timely. It's not always the most talent. The talent will show up when it needs to, but it's also timely. Who's hot? Obviously, you want this guy to get hot at the right time, but it's all about him getting under the lights, I feel like, getting that feeling, what it's like to pitch on those Sundays, and really just getting into a groove. It's all about that. I've got high hopes for him. He was a big name that has been floating around the facilities.
Yeah, and then... Summers fans will be familiar with this one, Matthew Adams. Mm-hmm. Nathan, you talked to him at Baseball Media Day, so just kind of just talk about that interview. I don't think we posted it online, so I don't think anybody's really seen it. So just talk about what he's been kind of dealing with and kind of developing his game.
Yeah, yeah, he's really confident. That was the big thing I took away from him. You know, he's confident in the things that he's – the time that he's taken out of his life to progress his game. He played with some teams outside of Southern Miss over the summer. He's really worked on his game. He's really tried to open up his pitching range and stuff, and all the pitches that he can throw. So from how he was talking to me, the guy has the ultimate confidence he needed in a pitcher. He really truly likes Scott Barry. You know, he knows Scott Barry trusts him. You know, Scott Barry had some high praise at Media Day, and I told him about that, and you know, that really made him feel good. That confidence was just you could just see it in his eyes. So you know, I haven't got to see too much of him on the field, obviously, from last year to this year, but when it comes to off the field, when it comes to confidence, it was oozing out of the guy. You gotta like that when it comes to a new guy coming in into a big opportunity like this.
Yeah, definitely. He was kind of the midday starter last year, so he already has that starting experience. Mm-hmm. So I think Matt Adams is more primed to really make that jump. So if there's any guy, like, he probably has a much higher floor than Nico Mazza does. He's probably going to be more reliable. And Nathan, you mentioned the summer league. He did really well. Yeah, like, he was getting praise from everybody. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty evident to fans way back then that, yeah, this guy's probably going to compete for a starting job. And what do we know? He's right in the mix. I believe, Dima, you had him being the Saturday starter. I think I agree with that. So, yeah, definitely should be a big year for Matt Adams because they're going to need him.
Definitely, 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 definitely. You know, and obviously you're going to return some of the players who are coming in, like Justin Storm. We've talked about him a lot. Last season, Matthew Adams had 23.1 innings, 32-6 strikeout to ball ratio, to walk ratio. And like you said, that he's been praised. He's been he's really developed his game. And Nathan, you were talking about his confidence kind of going up. And then we know Justin Storm, what he did against LSU last season in the regional, saved their season,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If not for him, I mean, they wouldn't have made it to a super regional last year probably. So it was a performance of the ages. It was over five innings. He struck out seven with just one walk and no hits. So. You know, it was unbelievable. He's co-captain of the team along with Danny Lynch. Now, they added two players out of the transfer portal, Will Armstead and Holland Towns. It sounds like they could be the weekday starters. And also Chandler Best. They lost him for the season due to his injury. And that with his loss, that means all of they don't really have that many left-handers.
Yeah, I think... That's something that hasn't been talked about really is kind of Chandler Best, like what role he could have had if, you know, because what Barry was saying on the show this week was that lots of these guys that haven't gotten the experience but have kind of been ready for that, but they just haven't been able to be used because of the guys that were here. I mean, you're talking about a pitching staff last year where five guys got drafted, most in program history.
Yeah.
And Chandler Best, I think, is probably one of those names that we would have seen a lot more of this year.
Yeah, it definitely hurts to lose him, but a lot of inexperienced guys, but they really see a lot in them, so they're going to do their best to replace Chandler Best, but we'll see if they're able to do that.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm with you. You know, you love to see these guys come in and have an opportunity. You know, that's the reason they come in. But it's all about what they can do on the field for me, and, you know, it's experience, you know. JUCO to Southern, it's a big jump,
yeah,
you know. You're not joining some low baseball school. This is top echelon.
You're fixing to be throwing against Mississippi State.
Exactly. You're playing against the best of the best. So it's very similar to the conversation I said earlier. It's all about experience, getting under those lights, and just, you know, feeling it out, you know. And I think, you know, how much confidence these coaches have in these guys will be instilled in their game. So that's what I see coming out of this.
And one point I do want to make is in baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint, yes. right? So you definitely have time to kind of get these guys accustomed right. to the college game, definitely. Accustomed to this level. It's not like sports like football from a football school where, you know, you go out there first game, if you're bad, you're getting out of there. Like baseball, you're going to get some opportunities to really prove what you got.
That's why I honestly think these first couple weeks, even though it's such a tough schedule, I think there is going to be more experimenting.
Well, they did that last year.
Yeah, they do it every year.
Like their starting rotation last year was what was it? Just forgot his name.
Etheridge,
thank you. Etheridge, and we didn't even see him the rest of the season.
Etheridge was a name that we all thought was going to be
right. And they threw Hurston on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I don't remember who their Saturday guy was, but I don't think it was Riggins.
And there's probably another guy in the staff, whether it's Nico Mazza or whoever, that's going to be, I won't say like the Tanner Hall, but Tanner Hall was a story, just a guy who emerged kind of like
right.
nobody. I mean, people were talking about him, but I don't think anybody really saw the kind of breakout that he had. So they're probably really confident in a couple of guys to, step up.
Definitely.
And I mean, the staff ever since Ostrander has been here has been, top in the nation. Even I think in 2019, when they were kind of rebuilding, I think he was still selected to like the all team and Conference USA, still had pitchers there. So there's going to be, I think, top pitching staff, one of the top pitching staffs in the Sun Belt for sure.
What do y'all think the number is for pitching staff that Southern Miss has to be to kind of have that consistency? Like last year, they're in the top five. I don't think anybody's think they have to be in the top five to get to like the super regional, right? Do you think like top 20?
It all depends on hitting.
Yes.
I want to say that.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling that top 20.
Top 20? Do you think top 30?
Top 20 is reasonable. Top 30 is probably a little bit more realistic coming into the season. Obviously, once you get to the end of the season, rankings will probably change and stuff. But I think, I'm feeling top 20.
Top 30? Top 20?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint a number. It just has to be complimentary, right?
Right,
I know it's kind of a cop-out. If their hitting improves to, like, top 100, top 75, then pitching could be, like, top 40, top 50. Mm. As long as it's complimentary, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Weekend starters. So I put mine out on the article. I'm going to save my – okay, we're not – okay, everybody has their Friday guy, right? Everybody's – who do you got for Friday?
That's an easy one. I think that's easy.
Yeah, Nick Monastir.
I think Demon Mixon's going to be thrown on Friday.
Nathan Lee.
All right, so all of us are saying Tanner Hall, so I think we may just have our debate on Saturday and Sunday. I said Matthew Adams for Saturday. Everybody agree? Everybody,
I'm with you on that.
I agree.
Okay. Charlie, you're nodding. You're shrugging.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. Unless they think that Sunday is more important than Saturday, maybe they think Matthew Adams is the more reliable guy. Maybe they move him to Sunday. But if it's 1, 2, and 3, Matthew Adams is the second starter.
Okay. And then Sunday I have Nico Mazza, that's who I've kind of talked about. And does anybody have a different opinion there?
I'm probably going to probably agree with you there, but there's interesting names out there. Like I like a lot of the guys, but I'll agree with you on this one.
Where are you putting Storm?
That's the only other guy I was.
I don't think he's going to be a starter.
Yeah.
Oh, not a weekend starter.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. They seem to really like him out of the bullpen, right. Maybe being a long reliever. Okay. But
I mean, we were talking about closer with Scott Berry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he doesn't have like a real closer. I think Justin Storm might be their closer. Mm.
Could be, but I mean, as
like
we saw
against LSU. Landon Harper from last
year. Yeah, I
feel
like you got to use him there.
As we saw against LSU, he can eat up innings, and a long reliever could turn into a starter at the end of the season. Sure. Like this opening rotation probably won't be the rotation come
conference
tournament play. I think just after watching Storm last year in the region, I think he's got to maybe be more of a role. But yeah, that might be something they have to figure out. Are they comfortable in having him in just that role where he can do his thing? Or
I don't think you're running out Justin Storm to open the season.
Yeah,
no, but he could work his way up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Easily,
definitely. All right, so let's dive into this. We're gonna pick our player to drive the bus for. So I'm going to go last because I kind of want to hear y'all. So Jackson, let's start with you. Player you're driving the bus for on the pitching staff.
Probably going to go with Nico Mazza, okay. Honestly. They really
give
like
us your
his
pitch.
Stuff. Oh, I'll give you my pitch.
Nobody caught that one?
Yeah. Yeah. He could be a high strikeout guy for the staff, which is what they're missing with that guy who went gator hunting. So they definitely want that guy as a Sunday starter. There could be some young names. You know, I jokingly mentioned Nick Monastir earlier. Hey, you never know. At the end of the year, he could be one of those guys, a guy at a Northwest ranking. So you never know. But the guy I'm driving the bus for, I'm going to take Nico with me.
Yeah, I'm going to go Matthew Adams. I talked to the guy personally, so, you know, yeah. It was kind of felt like I needed to go with him. The biggest thing for him, for me, you got to get that ERA down. I've looked at his stats. It's around 7.6. You definitely want to get that down coming into this season. But I don't want to harp on the point. It felt like he knows that he has to be a big guy in this room. He knows that he has to take that next step forward. It's just... For, you know, that confidence, that knowing that this staff is not last year's staff, you have an opportunity to prove and really help your staff, like yourself. You know, I know it's a selfless sport, but this is a self thing for him. He has an opportunity to really prove himself. When you see five pitchers get drafted, it's got to really put something in you to, you know, I'm in a school where I can really have an opportunity to get drafted. So with all that being said, I really think Matthew Adams can really take that next step forward, work on that ERA, but I truly believe that he'll work on that and really be good at it.
You know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. I think this kind of uncertainty that – or what we think is uncertainty kind of puts more pressure on your reliever, like your relieving pitchers. Mm. So I got to go to, like, Justin Storm again. I just think – whatever role he finds is going to be important for the team, because outside of, you know, we don't really know the weekend starters or how dependable it's going to be. You got to have your relievers to kind of be A1, I think, really. I mean, there's so much that we don't know still, so it's kind of hard for me to say.
That's a big dude. Are you going to be able to fit him on the bus?
That is true.
That dude's a skyscraper.
Yeah, I remember first time meeting Walker Powell, kind of same size. Yeah. I was like, I did not know pitchers were this tall, yeah, bro.
I was looking at the basketball size of these players, bro. They're like 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". It's like this team's all freaking basketball players.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Walker Powell was like 6'6".
Are we the same species?
Yeah. Well, Charlie stole mine, but I'm driving the bus for Justin Storm as well. I think that I think just like you said, I think they're going to need that guy who's going to come off the bullpen and be the guy they can rely on. Last year, it was, you know, whoever it was, Chandler Best beat Ole Miss basically in Pearl, and then you know, you had Landon Harper coming out, Isaiah Rhodes,
yeah, it was 3-0.
Yeah, so I mean. They got to have that guy. They're going to have that guy come out this season. I think Justin Storm's prime time position to be put in there, and I'm driving the bus for him. So every time he's out there, I'm going to be going, let's go, Storm.
Yeah, you got
it. I'm driving the bus for you, bro. All right, so that is our pitching segment. We're going to take a quick break before we come back before our hitting segment. So we're going to just kind of stand up and stretch our legs because we've been going for about 45 minutes now. So we'll be right back on 4th Street.
That's really what it is.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
Back here on 4th Street, we are in our baseball preview pod for the 2023 season, and now we're going to move on to the hitting and defense section of this podcast. This is the section I wrote in the preview for the student print, so I'm kind of taking the lead on this one. So everybody's worried about the pitchers, right? Different guys, and then you look at the defense and the hitting. They got a lot of new guys, too. A lot of more returners, a lot of guys you've heard of before, but guys like Matthew Etzel and Tate Parker and maybe like a Gabe Lacy or some guys that you may not have heard of but are guys that are going to make some definite impacts here. I kind of want to go around the room here. Just want to ask you guys what y'all make of the fielders this season and the position players and how much they need to take the load.
It's interesting, you know, because the biggest one, you know, I don't know if – I don't think they've announced second base yet, right?
No.
Exactly. No. So that's the big one for me. I mean, it's just – obviously, they'll know. They'll have a guy sit there. But, you know, when there's question marks, that's the first place I'm going to go. You don't know where a guy is. But There's just, you know, there's guys that just need to make move, that need to make that next step, that level up, you know, that can really help out this team defensively just as much as hitting. You know, hitting helps pitching, but, you know, good defense also helps it, you know, not allowing anything to get past them. So that's my thing, you know, how good is this fielding going to be, you know, coming into this season?
Yeah, you know, we talked about pitching, we talked about all this stuff, but, you know, one thing we've seen from past seasons in baseball is who has the bats hot at the end of the season, and that's what makes it. That's literally the whole thing about the end. Like, there's been very few teams who get to win the national championship if they're not hitting, right? Like, that's just the bottom line of what it is, of what baseball is. And we've seen a pattern of that where Mississippi State kind of got hot in 2021, and then last year with Ole Miss kind of getting hot on the batting side. I mean, Tim Elko was smacking balls out of the park, you know, and then they had Chatagnier, and they had Gonzalez, like all these players on their team that were just, every one of them could hit the ball out of the park. I remember in like the national championship game, they brought a guy up for pinch hitting on the first pitch.
Oh my gosh.
He hit a like 2-run homer.
He had only gotten like a couple hits the whole season. Right. Something he was, yeah.
Like,
I remember that.
And like when Southern Miss was bringing in like Brady Faust or whoever they were bringing in last year for pinch hitting, he wasn't smacking it over the fence, you know? Yeah. So that's something that I think that it's important. This is just as important as talking about pitching.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, yeah, I think just the continuity. they do have that there. I mean, y'all were talking a couple positions kind of changed, but otherwise, I mean, you got guys who have been in the same role. Kind of, yeah, I think that brings lots of these guys have played with each other, comfortable with each other, have been working on their game. And we've seen what some of these guys are capable of. I'm pretty sure we'll get into the kind of specifics. But there were moments where they really stepped up. And when they did, they were really, really hard team to beat, especially on that win streak. If we could probably pull up the stats of their hitting during that specific streak, you know, when the bats are hot, they're a hard team to beat. So it's definitely, you know, we talked about how important pitching is, but really if the bats can take a step up this year, I think they're just as good of shape as they were last year with that pitching staff.
Yes, certainly. They were definitely a team that was hot and cold at the plate last year. Ask anybody. Ask Scott Barry. He'll tell you that fact. During the win streak, they were definitely hitting well. But, you know, when it got towards conference championship time, they started not hitting as well. And it almost lost them in the regional where the bats got cold, but then they were able to come back. And then obviously in the super regional, they unfortunately couldn't hit their way out of a brown paper bag. I think they averaged .276 batting average last year, which was 150th in the country out of 263 teams. So they really had to have that pitching staff carry the load this year. So they're definitely going to have to hit closer to 300, maybe in the 290s, for them to have like a realistic shot at replicating last year's success. But we kind of talked about second base a little bit, and I tried to ask Scott Barry this Monday, and, you know, not giving an inch as usual, but I personally haven't been to a scrimmage. I know you've been the one, right, Dima? Did you notice anything at second base, maybe some guys out there that you think could be some contenders?
Yeah, I think like you said, Gabe, in your preview, you know, Gabe Lacy's obviously been out there a couple times, but I think one thing you did mention his name, Creek Robinson. He's been out there at second base a lot. I'm definitely wanting to go this weekend to kind of look to see. But Creek has been out there more than Gabe Lacy, I think, in what I've heard and what I saw that one time I did go. And
he's redshirt, isn't he?
Yeah. So. And then I would say Brady Faust, who could be there, but I really think they don't know. Like, it didn't sound like Scott Barry knew when we talked to him Monday.
It doesn't feel like a position he's really confident about. Like, there's a left field battle, which we'll get on to. We already know that it's Reese Ewing and Tate Parker, right? He's confident about those guys.
It's either one of those players.
Yeah, and I mean, could it be
three or four guys at second.
Yeah, I was about to say, could it be a platoon of guys? They mentioned Creek Robertson as being the backup shortstop when Dustin Dickerson comes in the pitch.
Oh, we forgot to mention
I would drive the bus for him, by the way. But I mean, I gave it to Gabe Lacy. He's got that experience. He hit 329. I know it was at Tennessee Tech last year, but that's a guy that if he can get the bat going, they would definitely want that in the middle of the infield. But
just losing McGillis there, man, that's tough. Of what McGillis brought to that lineup. Like, I was thinking about just like, if you think about what Charlie said, when that lineup was on, you know, you had Pato leading off. He could knock it out of the yard. Then you had Dustin Dickerson, who was, you know, a double or whatever from a normal, from being at his best, a double. And
hit 320 last year.
Gabe was on a streak where every time he stepped to the plate, he was getting a hit.
Right, and then Reese Ewing, you know, we saw what he could do. He kind of cooled off there at the end. We know what Reese Ewing could do. And then you have Sargent coming on the four hole.
Led the team in homers and RBIs.
It's like you can't pitch around any of them. And then right after Sarge, you'd have Danny Lynch come up, and he would hit a single. And then Slade Wilkes is coming up DHing. So their lineup last year was pretty insane. And I think this year it can even be better.
Oh, absolutely. When you talk about – we'll talk about center field, Matthew Etzel. Yeah, Dima, I know you interviewed him and put some clips online. Just what do you make of the guy? They've already handed him the center field job. He has earned it. Scott Barry said he was a four-tool player. The only tool that's not really exceptional is arm strength, but he said it's about average, and, I mean, that's good enough. But, Dima, what did you make out of your interview with Matthew Etzel?
Yeah, man, I think he's going to be probably one of the best players we've seen as far as offensive players. He has speed. He can one-arm it from center field to first base, is what I've heard. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is he can crank the ball out of the park. But Scott Barry was saying he's a smart hitter, right? Like he knows how to just kind of, you know how like last year, so they kind of, can I even talk? What even was that? Sometimes last year they kind of just like bloop it up into the infield, outfield where they can't really get it, just a single. Like he can do that, and he reads the strike zone the best. That's what Scott Barry said. And just like you said, he's a 4-2 player. When I talked to Matthew Etzel, it was a lot about why he chose to come to Southern Miss. He said when he came here, it was like home to him. And he said within a few days of being around the baseball program, all these guys on his team were like his brother. So I think that's another thing, that team chemistry with this team, all these veterans coming back, and adding a Matthew Etzel, who practically every time he steps to the plate can crank it out of the yard. And if not crank it out of the yard, can get a double. And with his speed, he'll be stealing a lot of bases. Hoo-wee, this is going to be a tough lineup to hit around.
And possibly adding Tate Parker to that mix, too. They praised kind of how smart he is in the zone, too. So I don't know where, you know, how soon we'll see him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, y'all were talking about that battle. It's like they have a lot of pieces they can work with, and I think that's just what they got to decide.
Yeah, like we've said, most podcasts are talking about baseball. This season feels like a reverse, right? Mm-hmm. Last season was about the pitching. The hitting was like, oh, man, you don't want to – once you – you remember when they lost Reese Ewing from the lineup last season, right? There, they went like dead. Yeah. They went dead in hitting, and then they inserted him back in the lineup, and then they came alive. So it was like you can't take anybody out of the lineup. But if they take – you know, Blake Johnson out or whatever for catcher and put in Rodrigo Montenegro.
Yeah.
You know, if they take Slade Wilkes out of the DH and put in your guy, Tate Robertson, whatever. You know, not Tate Robertson.
Right? Tate Parker.
Tate Parker. Why did I say Robertson?
You got Creek on the mic.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes and saying Creek. Sorry. Tate Parker in. I mean, they have the ability to do that now, and that's something they haven't had, in, especially not last year.
Yeah, no question. And Dima, you brought up a good point that Matthew Etzel could be the best player we've seen at Southern Miss. I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball here. I want to kind of ask this around the room. Who was the best Southern Miss hitter that you can remember seeing? And just how good would Etzel have to be to surpass that? Sure. I'll let y'all think about that a little bit. I know probably Matt Wallner's going to get some votes, definitely.
Probably just say Wallner.
Yeah, that's the only one I could think of off the top of my head.
Golly, you put us on the spot.
I mean, yeah, I know, right? I was just thinking about that because like for a player to really be that transcendent, they would have to put up some really good numbers, maybe hit like 330. We know Etzel's going to steal some bases, so I don't know what a reasonable number would be. 20 stolen bases, I think. I mean, this is a team that was very slow last year. And Scott Barry said Monday it's a very slow team. So just adding that element, it's only going to highlight them even more.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as like – I grew up watching Southern Miss baseball, but I wasn't like a insane, like, all-out baseball fan when I was growing up. You know, I was more football, basketball. I started only recently watching them, like, more in-depth, obviously, when we were starting at this position. And but I do remember one name that does come to mind, Reed Trimble, for Southern Miss baseball in 2021. That's right. When he was playing the Oxford Regional, he cranked, like, what, 4 home runs? I mean, I just remember watching him that season, and man, he was a difference maker. And, man, you think about it, if he was on that team last year, because he had the chance to come back, whew. But anyways, I'd say Reed Trimble will honestly be my answer. But Matt Wallner, obviously. But, I mean, I was just trying to think of somebody else.
Yeah, but if I were going on just, like, since we've been in school, probably Reed.
Yeah.
Probably Reed. Definitely. Well, like the NFL, we're going to get back on script now, and we're going to talk about that left field battle. Obviously, you got Reese Ewing and Tate Parker really competing for that spot, and Scott Barry said that it's probably going to be more of a platoon approach, using that word again, but Ewing's a lefty and Parker's a righty. It may depend on whether or not the pitcher is a righty or a lefty, but I think on opening day, Reese Ewing is going to be the starter no matter what. Can anybody tell me why I'm wrong?
The only reason you'd be wrong is if, you know, if you just blanked on what's his name.
Who's Tate?
Tate Parker. Sorry. Yeah. The only reason you'd be, I'm like blanking. I'm going nuts. Tate,
yeah.
I keep having, I'm having like blanking issues right now. But
it's middle of semester, sorry, man.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Tate Parker and Reese Ewing. I mean, the only reason you'd be wrong with that, if Tate Parker just goes nuts this weekend in squads.
Wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, I mean, you never know. So, like you, I think Reese Ewing is going to be there in left field opening day.
I agree. I like Tate Parker a lot.
I don't know if that's who should be there, though.
Yeah, Tate Parker will see a lot of action, I'll say, this season. He's not going to have a lack of action, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what Barry said, kind of the platoon, gave enough of an answer. Because, I mean, they're giving the straight-up answer that Edsel, you know, a new guy, is going to be the starter. So I think that gives you kind of an idea that, you know, both have bring something to the table.
And it's definitely not going to be a situation where Ewing will start every game when he's healthy like he has had last year. Like, it's not going to be because he's not performing well. Mm-hmm. It's because Tate Parker, they expect him to be really good. That's really a good problem to have. So we'll see later in the season whether Tate Parker can surpass Reese Ewing, but I think right now it's Ewing's job to lose, even though it's going to be more of a platoon approach. But we've predicted 2 lineup spots right now, and now it's time to predict an opening lineup. You can give batting order if you want. I will not. But I'm going to go around the room. So, first base seems pretty easy. Christopher Sargent. Anybody disagree?
Sarge.
Yeah. Guy from Wilmer, so I'll give him some credit there. That's near my home area. Second base, we kind of said probably Gabe Lacy, but I'm going Creek. I mean, definitely a contender. Shortstop, Dustin Dickerson. Yep. Anybody disagree?
No.
I hear
By the way, I'm going second base. I'm saying Creek Robertson.
Yeah, Creek Robertson.
I'll go Lacy just to cause some controversy.
I'll go with Gabe. Gabe Lacy, but it could easily be Creek Robertson. Charlie, you got a feel?
I don't know.
Matthew Russo is another option.
I'm not going to guess on that.
Yeah, it's really up in the air.
Yeah, I'm really not going to guess on that.
Yeah, shortstop and third base. That's Dickerson and Danny Lynch, respectively. I don't think anybody here would disagree with that.
No, Danny's getting benched.
What? The co-captain's getting benched?
That's pretty crazy, the kind of experience they have in this lineup.
Yeah, we're going through this lineup where there's only 2 position battles. Yeah. Everybody else is like, okay.
Yeah, so like left field, we just hit on it. It's either going to be Parker or Ewing.
Yeah, probably I think Ewing's getting the start, for sure.
And in center field, obviously going to be Edsel.
And then right field's Pato.
Right field's Pato. So Coach Barry's already said that Matthew Edsel's probably going to lead off. We can anticipate Christopher Sargent batting cleanup again. I know Barry kind of told Austin that on 4th Street Monday. So, I mean, anybody else got a feel? Like, maybe Danny Lynch batting 3rd or 5th, I can see. Or maybe Dickerson batting 3rd.
Well, Dickerson's probably going to be 2.
Yeah. You probably do want your best hitter at 2.
I would say it's going to be like Edsel, strategy. Dickerson, Pato? I don't know.
Maybe, because you want Pato hitting high up.
But if Reese Ewing is in there, I think he's going to be your 3.
That's right. Yeah.
So then you have, but so Peyton might be ninth.
He could very well be. But like leading off last year, you want your leadoff guy to have more at bats. Are they going to want to move him up? Maybe do you
definitely leading off.
Yeah. Yes, obviously. But Peyto led off last year, so you probably want him to get as many at bats as possible high up in the order. I could easily see Peyto batting like maybe sixth or seventh and probably have your catcher bat ninth. But catcher, Blake Johnson.
Yeah.
Anybody voting for Rodrigo?
I like my guy Rodrigo, but I'm going to go Blake on this one.
Yeah. Radio production club.
Yeah, at least
we'll see Rodrigo. We'll see Rodrigo on Saturday.
Yes.
You'll see Rodrigo.
Like last year, and they went out and got Graham Crawford from Alabama. He's a third catcher. Because last year when Blake Johnson got hurt, we saw Rodrigo start every game for an ungodly amount of time. Like way too long for a catcher to be catching every game, but... designated hitter, I'll say, as well as Slade Wilkes. Everybody agrees. So, yeah, that's really it's really not many lineup battles to pick from. It's not as murky as the pitching rotation will be, but the hitting, they're definitely going to have to rely on them a lot. Yeah. And that's it from the position player standpoint. We're going to take a quick break, stretch our legs one last time, and then we're going to enter the home stretch of this baseball preview podcast. So stay tuned. This is 4th Street.
I'm going to skip the listener questions because we got to go. Because we're not going to get to all of it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got to go to college hostel.
Okay. Oh, we didn't do driving the bus for hitters.
Yeah.
Oops.
We'll do it real quickly. Okay. All right, back on 4th Street. We're going to try to wrap this up. You know, we just go long and talk about baseball. It's kind of cool. Yeah. So, let's go.
Just like baseball.
Right.
Yeah. We just stretched it out unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily.
Across 3 hours.
Well, at least we're not talking about...
Hey, pitch clock.
We're not talking about Kane's seasoning anymore. So.
Yeah.
All right, so let's pick a player we're driving the bus for on the lineup. Jackson, we'll start with you. Give us your quick hit on... who you're driving the bus for.
I think I'm going to go with Reese Ewing, honestly. Okay. I think the competition from Tate Parker is going to push him to perform his best. He increased his batting average from 2021 to 2022 from 250 to 260. I think he could hit like close to 285 this year if all goes well. So I'm going to go with Reese Ewing.
You know, you got like some big guys. You've got guys on this team that can hit big, like – I think of Peyton and Sarge, what they were able to do last year, just kind of provide this kind of spark plays. But then you lose a guy like Gabe Montenegro, who's kind of that consistent. You know, he could reach bases every time he got up to the plate. I think that's what they're going to need Dustin Dickerson to do this year, which he was hitting last year. But I remember specifically in the postseason. It was not his postseason, and I think that you just need to get runners on base and then have those guys step up, and I think Dustin is kind of the leader in that room, and I think he's going to be really most important guy in this lineup.
Yeah, Dustin was the guy I thought of immediately, but all this talk about Edsel really have kind of wanted to lean on Edsel.
There you go.
So I'm going to go Matthew Edsel with this one. It's just. All the talk around him is just too much hype to not buy into for me. So that's the guy I'm going to go to drive the bus.
So last season, a guy who was almost like a guarantee to get on base. He got really hot in the postseason, especially in the Hattiesburg Regional. Danny Lynch.
Yeah.
I think that he can be a factor. He was knocking home runs. He beat he had a three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth against Ole Miss and Pearl or whatever. I'm going to drive the bus for Danny Lynch. I think he could have a breakout season this season and kind of shock people of how well he's improved his game. So that's who we're driving the bus for. We're going to not go into listener questions because we've got to get over to this basketball game. So we're just going to jump right into predictions. We will get to your questions. We'll save them for our future rapid fire podcast. So thank you for your questions. I'm sorry we won't be able to get to them, but let's get into predictions. Gentlemen, try to keep them short, but predict, you don't have to do a record, but are they going to win the Sun Belt Championship and how far are they getting the postseason? You got to mark it down. Jackson, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go, they win the Sun Belt Conference Championship. They do not win the regular season Sun Belt title. And I'm going to say they get eliminated in the regional round. I initially went, they make a super. I think they get eliminated in the regional.
Do they host a regional?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I truly bought in. I just think this team is going to surprise some people with. I think their pitching room is really not going to be too much of a problem. That's my wild take here. I know Danny Lynch is that guy, so I think we're going to get some guys. There's going to get some guys to step up, and I really think they're going to take a. I think they're going to take a step forward this year, in my opinion. And I think they win the Sun Belt, win the regular season Sun Belt championship as well. And I think they get to a super. I'm still on the fence about Omaha. I'm going to say they get to Omaha just because. But it's not going to be an easy road. I really do like. I just think this team has what it takes. It's if they can stay healthy and get hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think this team might need some time to gel together, and I think that this kind of early half of the schedule isn't favorable to that. But, you know, I could be very wrong. But if they do somehow slump at the start of their schedule, there will be a lot of catching up to do, and they might not end up winning that regular season championship or whatever you call it. But that's really not what matters. They don't care about that. You know, come postseason, I think they'll be ready. They'll be a top team, and that's what matters. I think they'll win the Sun Belt postseason conference tournament and then move on to the regional. I got them going to the Super Regional, and I really can't decide if this is the year for Omaha.
You got
to
mark it down. This is prediction spot. Yes or no?
Flip a coin, Charlie.
I mean, the other week I said no, but definitely capable of doing it.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with no.
Yeah.
Super reasonable.
Yeah, I think I'm with y'all. I think that they'll start off the season kind of just figuring out that pitching staff. But once they figure out the pitching staff, I do not think the batting will have the slumps they had last season. I firmly don't believe that. I think they do win the Sun Belt Championship this season. I think they do make the regional. I do think they host regional. I think they win their regional again. And I think they get to a super. And I think they lose in the super. So I'm sticking with that. And like I said, when we say that, we're not saying they can't get to Omaha, right? They have every ability to get to Omaha this season. It's just so hard.
So hard.
Like, I mean, I just don't think people understand how hard it is. I mean, it's just crazy.
Like, look at the rich history. They've only been once, ever.
It's one of the most competitive sports, right? Is to get
there's like
to that.
390 teams, right?
That's crazy.
There's so many teams, and only eight can get there. So it's just hard. It's just hard to predict that in February 8th or whatever
baseball
day it is.
Baseball is the hardest sport to predict in general.
Right.
That's just in general.
Yeah. Anybody can kind of get in there if you're on a roll.
Definitely. So that is our ginormous baseball preview podcast. Apologize for not getting y'all's questions, but we really do need to get over this game. Huge basketball game tonight. So when you're
the Lady Eagles too.
For the Lady Eagles, yeah. So when you're hearing this game will be over. So that's crazy, but we're fixing to go experience this. You know, we're fixing to go experience this, and guys, I don't think I've been more excited for to cover a basketball game probably ever.
I'm about to be LeBron. Once he broke the scoring record. Yeah.
So
right there with you.
So here we go. So we're gonna head over to the gym right now, and we will catch y'all guys later. So Nathan, thanks for letting us infiltrate your apartment.
Of course.
And Jackson, thanks for taking the lead on the hitting segment. And
I appreciate you.
And so for Nathan Lee, for Jackson Howell, for Charlie Luttrell, I'm Diva Mixon. And that was our baseball preview podcast. We will see you at the Pete next Friday. So thank you so much for listening. We'll see y'all next time.
Come back next Monday at 5 on Southern Miss Radio. 4th Street Sports, baby.